One wise sage said, Christians are a lot like tea bags. They aren't worth very much until you put them in hot water. I don't know that I fully agree with that statement, but I believe that that statement illustrates the fact that it's when the pressure comes and the heat is on, the crisis invades, that we have opportunity to demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. And that certainly is the case in Daniel 3. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Old Testament. The story of three Hebrew children who stood when everyone around them was on their faces before another God. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, had come into Israel and had taken captive the best of the Hebrew children and had brought them back to Babylon to train them and educate them so that they might serve the Babylonians in a special way. Four of the young men that were brought back by Nebuchadnezzar that we know by name were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I keep hearing that name said Abednego. It's not Abednego, it's Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of the Hebrew children. And in Daniel 3, King Nebuchadnezzar had this plan. He constructed this image that was 90 feet high by 9 feet wide, covered it in gold, had orchestrated this event so that the whole nation of Babylon, along with all of the leaders and the governors, all of the leaders, were to fall on their face when the music began to play. And so carefully orchestrated, the musicians were in place. The image of gold was in its place. They were all gathered on the plains of Dura. The music began to play. Everybody hit their face, except for three. Those three young men stood. In just a few seconds, they reported these three Hebrew children to King Nebuchadnezzar. He was furious. He calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him, and he says to them, if you don't bow down when the music starts to play, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace. And they stood and refused to bend or bow, saying, we'd rather burn. They stood the test of two kinds of pressure, peer pressure and fear pressure. Peer pressure is the fact that everyone else was doing it. That's not something that just challenges teenagers, is it? I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in another state, goes to one of our sister congregations in that state. He was telling me on the telephone the other day that they'd had something unusual happen on Sunday night at church, and it caused quite a stir. They'd ask a young man to get up and testify for a few minutes on Sunday night about how God was working in his life, and he had done so and done it very effectively. And he was so enthusiastic about what he was saying, he got just a little bit, you know, carried away. And he said, I just think that what we need to do is just, I think all of us just need to stand right now and give God a standing ovation. Well, he said, I was sitting there, and he said, everybody started standing up around me. And he said, I had to decide, I'm going to stand up and give God a standing ovation or not. He said, I found myself standing up and giving God a standing ovation, but I didn't like it. He said, I gave in to peer pressure. And as he said that, I thought about the numbers of times in my own life that I had been confronted with peer pressure and had given in to something I didn't feel comfortable in doing. And what it is refreshing to see someone who's willing to stand when it goes against the grain. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And fear pressure? The king said, you don't fall and worship my image. You're going in the fiery furnace. It's going to cost you your life. Now, that may not happen to you and me in terms of fear pressure. Our fear comes in a different form. It's you go along or we'll fire you. You go along or I'll break up with you. You do what I want you to do or I'll leave you. And it's that kind of pressure that we feel, the fear that something's going to be taken from us, or we're going to lose somebody, or something's going to be happening to us that causes us to lose friends, that fear pressure causes us sometimes to give in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no matter how many do it, no matter what you threaten us with, we're not going to fall. Now, I want you to notice their faith in verses 16, 17, 18. First of all, it was a considered faith. They had thought about that situation before the situation presented itself, and they had decided what they were going to do. They had been deported to a foreign land in the midst of foreign gods, and they knew sooner or later they were going to be tempted in this way, and they had already decided what they were going to do. The text says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Another version says, we don't need to debate any further with you about this because we've already decided. You know, I tell young people, it's a bad time to decide when you're in the heat of passion what you're going to do about your sexuality. Because if you wait to decide what you're going to do about your sexuality when you're in the clutch, you're going to lose. You see, you have got to consider ahead of time what you're going to do about that. And once you have considered it and decided upon it and the decision has been made, then you know what you're going to do about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had considered what the possibilities were and had already decided, no matter what happens, we're going to stand for God, period. That's a considered faith. But I want you to notice, secondly, it's a confident faith. Look what they say in 17. In verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O King. Their confidence was in God. We put our confidence in our abilities. We put our confidence in our mates. We put our confidence in our job security. We put our confidence in our financial situation. We put our confidence in our friends, in preachers and elders, and everyone else in the world. Folks, when are we going to put our confidence in God's ability to rescue? God's ability to save. You see, they made the response, our God is able to deliver us, and we are confident. But then the third aspect of their faith is shown in verse 18, a constant faith. A constant faith. They say, but even if He does not, we want you to know, O King, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. Our God is able to save us. We believe that. But even if He doesn't, we're going to stand for God. I wish I could tell you that God will never put you in the fire. But the fact of the matter is, God promises you're going to see the fire. If you're not in the midst of the fiery furnace this morning, just wait. Your time is coming. James says in James 1, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various kinds of trials. I mean, if you're not in the furnace today, you'll be in the furnace at some point. And if our confident faith is in God, in His ability to save, our constancy says, but even if God chooses to do otherwise, I'm going to follow God and stand for Christ. Now let me share with you the three quick benefits of having a faith like that. Because you see, as our seniors go out from us and as we go out into the world, we need to know what are the results of having a faith like that. I want you to notice three benefits of this kind of faith. Number one, freedom. Freedom. I don't know how many times I have read this story and studied this passage, and I had never seen this before this week. You know the only thing that burned when they were thrown into the fiery furnace? The ropes that bound them. I'd never seen that before. They're tied up and they're thrown, they're carried up and thrown in, tied up and bound. But when Nebuchadnezzar looks in verse 25 in the fiery furnace, they're walking around unbound and unharmed. You know what? Sometimes God puts us in the fire to burn off some of the things that bind us in the world. And sometimes it's in the fire you find a freedom you'll find no place else in the world. They not only had freedom, they found fellowship because of their faith.
The Bible says in verse 25 that the king looked and he said, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Listen. The God of the universe left the glory of heaven and came and visited a fire on the plains of Dura because three young men had held to their faith in him. You know something, folks? If they hadn't made the stand of faith, they would have never seen the Savior. Sometimes it's in the fire when we see God at His best. And though we wouldn't choose to go into the fire on the front end, and though we wouldn't choose for the fire to come our way on the front end, when we come out on the other side and look back, we find that there in the fire we found a fellowship with God we'd had no place else. Not only freedom and fellowship. Look at verse 30. Favor. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The king was so moved by their stand of faith that he was first of all angered by it. Then he took action to burn them to death, and God protected them, and then he's converted by them, if you will. You know what, people? The world is looking for a faith that doesn't compromise itself with the world. Sometimes it angers them first, like it did King Nebuchadnezzar. And then it amazes them, like it did Nebuchadnezzar. And then it converts them. You know what that's what happened in the early church? The world devised all kinds of punishments and tortures and deaths to put on those people who said they followed Jesus Christ, but they couldn't come up with a punishment bad enough to keep them from following Jesus. It angered them, then it amazed them, and then it converted them, for the world was turned upside down. Listen, the people around you are looking to you for a faith that will not compromise. They're looking for you to be a person who lives not by cowardice, but by conviction. A person who's willing to stand for God no matter what. That's faith. Someone said, character is what you are in the dark. I think that's true to some extent. But let me add something. Character is what you are in the light. And these men were willing to stand up in front of a nation and say to the nation, we follow God and we're not bowing to another God anytime, no matter what you do. I don't know about you, but I need that to be my faith. I think you need that to be your faith. Whenever we find ourselves with the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego demonstrated, a faith that was a considered faith, a confident faith, a constant faith, then God gives us freedom and fellowship and favor. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do indeed plead with you for the faith that brings you glory. We admit that so many times it's so easy to go along in order to get along. Father, it's our prayer that you'll give us the faith to stand when the heat is on. Give us a faith that imitates that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A willingness to stand for you no matter what the consequence, no matter what the price. Help us live our lives, Father, by faith. A wonderful, powerful place. The place of faith. In Jesus' name we pray.
I believe in faithfulness. I believe in giving of myself for someone else. I believe in peace and love. I believe in honesty and trust. It's not enough. Jesus, I believe. Jesus lives. Where there is faith, there is a voice calling, keep walking, you're not alone in this world. Where there is faith, there is a peace like a child sleeping, hope everlasting in him.
Our prayer for every one of our young people, that as they go out, leave home, are deported sometimes to a foreign culture, in foreign states, foreign places, that they might have the faith that we read about this morning. And it is the prayer of every one of us that as we go out from this place, in our businesses and in our neighborhoods, in our civic organizations and social clubs and on the campuses of the schools around this city, we might demonstrate the faith that stands for God no matter what the consequence, no matter what the price. It is the Christ who made that stand himself and calls us to follow after him. The invitation this morning is come and follow me. Live a life of faith. Sometimes that faith will take you to the fire. And I can't promise you that you won't be taken to the fire. But one thing I will promise you, God says, in the midst of the fire, I'll be with you. If you want to follow him and walk the life of faith, would you come to him right now while we stand together and sing?
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus.